Please join me in the book of Philippians. We'll take another Sunday away from the book of Revelation. The book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Hear the infallible, the inerrant word of the living God. Paul writes to the church in Philippi. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. Count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. I would dare say this passage from Philippians is not one that we would hear often on Christmas Day, because it speaks of humility. It speaks of being humbled. These are not words, as I've said, that we typically hear on Christmas. However, humility is the cornerstone, a cornerstone of the Christian faith. It was a major factor in our Lord's life. And in this season, we celebrate our Lord's humiliation. The Westminster Shorter Catechism asked the question, what did Christ's humiliation include? And the answer is, Christ's humiliation included him being born. So Christmas is a celebration of our Lord's humiliation. Let that sink in for a moment. And again, I dare say that's not one statement that we hear too often on Christmas Day. The Catechism goes on to say, and that it was in that low condition he was made under the law, underwent the miseries of this life. He endured the wrath of God and the curse, death of the cross. He was humiliated in him being buried and continuing under that power of death. Here we are talking about the birth of Jesus Christ on this very special day, but we must also remember, as I've said in the prayer, why he came and what he had to do following the Father's decrees to bring salvation to us. Here in Philippians, if you go down through here, it's almost like a descending nature of him leaving his throne, being born as a human, then put to death, and put to death on a cross. Think about that for a second. The majestic, glory-filled Son of the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, coming to this dark world and dying on a Roman cross. So again, during this season, we remember our Lord's humiliation. But it was not only our Lord who suffered humiliation. The many characters that we can find in the Bible. Look at the many characters of the Bible. Abraham was humbled before God when he was told to sacrifice his son Isaac. Jacob was humbled when he wrestled with God. Joseph was humbled when his brothers threw him in a pit and tried to kill him. Moses, the great Moses, was taken to the desert and left alone and humbled from his high position in Egypt. these individuals, and we can add Paul, we can add Luke, we can add Stephen, all of these who were humbled in their Christian life. And Paul went so far as to identify a thorn that was placed in his side, that he prayed repeatedly for God to remove it. And God said no. But please notice, on each occasion of these men that I've mentioned, they were not left in their humbled, broken state. They were in the end lifted and exalted. Abraham became the father of the Christian nation. Joseph rose to power in Egypt and saved his countrymen from famine. Moses led his people out of bondage from Egypt. And Paul, my favorite, is the author of more books in the Bible than anyone else. Even our Lord, he did not stay a child. He did not remain in the tomb, but yet he was exalted to the highest of places. And there's a phrase in theological circles used to identify this Christian way. It's called humiliation exaltation. Jesus went through his humiliation and then he was exalted. All these men that I've just mentioned went through their humiliation, yet they were exalted by God the Father and given their place in his heaven. We as Christians must go through our times of humiliation before we can enjoy the exaltation of our salvation. We must come to grips with our sin. We must come to grips with the wrath of God looking upon us in our sinfulness. And then we humble ourselves before him. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may exalt you." Matthew 9, "And he," Jesus, "sat down and called the 12 and said to them, 'If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all.'" This kind of language doesn't fit our society. This kind of language doesn't fit what we are shown many, many different ways in our society. Be all you can be. Look within yourself and find the promise that you have. You can be whatever. This language of humiliation, of being humbled, is not a very strong message for our world. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I'm thankful for the number of men who are in church today, but who are members here at New Sterling. The church I grew up in had very few men in it, because men see this humbling language as weakness. If you're humble, then you must be weak. You must be defeated. But that's not the case. It is following our Lord's way. Again, from Matthew 16, Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Denying myself, taking on my cross. That's why Jesus was born, to go to the cross. And so as we remember Christmas Day, you know, this is not fun stuff. Talking about taking up crosses and being humbled and being broken, denying self. This is not fun stuff. It is not what we want to hear, especially here at Christmas. But again, it is the Christian way. Our sanctification, our growth in Christ is to be like him. We are to follow in the footsteps he has given us. We are to follow the path that he's laid for us. And just as we said here in Matthew, Jesus went to the cross, we must also go to the cross. But here's the hope, is that there is an exaltation. There is resurrection morning. There is the brightness of glory that will be before us. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, has brought this topic of humiliation to my attention over the last several weeks. I've been going through our Lord's teaching on humility, and it's been high on my mind, and I've been watching and listening for what the Lord would have for me, for this church, through this time. I have learned my humiliation, my learning of humility, is not the object of the lesson. It is rather taking me to the place where dependence, full dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, is what the humiliation is given to achieve. In humiliation, the Lord is taking me, us, you, away from ourselves and turning our attention, my attention, to Him. Folks have come to me and asked me to pray for their children, asked me to pray for their spouses. And sometimes I cut to the chase and say, pray for them to be broken. And that's hard. That's hard for your children. But until we grasp, until we come to that place of understanding our brokenness, then we will never call on Jesus Christ. We must first understand our sinfulness. We must first understand our need. And see, again, that's where some men, I don't need anything, I'm fine, I'm good, I've got it. No, you don't. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, and hear this well, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Is there anything other than that you as a Christian would want? That the power of Christ may rest upon me? You? A thorn in the flesh sounds painful. Humiliation, being humbled, is sometimes painful. Being humbled is, and God will, if necessary, give you a thorn. Give me a thorn. But in our humiliation, God is glorified, because if we follow His leading, we turn to Him and Him alone for our rescue. And see, that's the whole point. Do whatever is necessary. If you are His and to be His child, He will do whatever is necessary to put you in the place where He wants you. Sometimes that's a joyful trip. Sometimes it's not. Our Lord was humbled through his life and most certainly by his death. But it would be that death that led him to Easter. And what do we find on Easter Sunday morning? A resurrected God, a resurrected Lord, bearing the scars of the cross. But he was exalted to the highest place. And all of that began on Christmas Day. So the joy of our Savior being born, but also the humiliation and then the exaltation, you can't separate them. You got to have one, you got to have them all. Being humbled, being exalted, we are being humbled now through the challenges that we face. And I'm just waiting for that beautiful day of exaltation. Because I know it's coming. It's coming. Let's pray together. Lord, is your writer Paul has given us that we are to take up our cross and follow you. We could not do that if we were not first born by the redemption of the Holy Spirit into this new life. So here for ourselves, as I've just said, we cannot separate our Lord's, we cannot separate your birth away from your death and Easter. So for ourselves, we cannot separate our birth into salvation from you, Lord Jesus, from our dying of ourselves and then going to that grave one day unless you return. But then that day of exaltation, that day of resurrection, it all begins with a new birth. It all begins with birth, and that's why we celebrate this season. And we thank you, Lord, for this day. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.